Numbers chapter 6, we're going to look at the last few verses. Took a missions trip to Mexico about 25 years ago, went to Monterrey, Mexico to visit a man named Doyle Johnson. And while we were in Monterrey, we did some door-to-door. And that's a good thing to do, amen? Knocking doors in Mexico, you don't knock on the door, you clap. Or you might rattle the gate. You don't knock on the door because the house might fall over. Some of them, some of the houses we went to in this area the day that we were knocking doors there, the floor was dirt, and they'd sweep it. It would be swept, but it was dirt. The house was made of various materials. Some of it might be brick. Some of it might be wood. Some of it might just kind of be pallets kind of packed up in the right place. And quite often the roof would be cement, or they make a lot of cement roofs down there. Or I've seen houses that just had a tarp over the top of them. Inside the house for water, they'd have a 55-gallon drum, and they'd have a water hose running from a tap outside. They'd run it and fill the drum up and use that for water all day. And we went door to door and had some great experiences. And at the end of the day, now, at that point in time, I didn't know 10 maybe Spanish words, and my Spanish was very, very weak back then. And the man that I was with was just the same way with English. He didn't know any English at all. And he wanted to say something to me. And so he took his Bible. I had a parallel Bible that was Spanish and English. And he took his Bible, and he pointed to Numbers chapter 6. And so I flipped in my Bible over to Numbers chapter 6, and he took his finger, and in my Bible, he pointed to verses 23 through 27. And let me read those verses to you. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6, in verse 23, to speak unto Aaron, unto his son, saying, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying, and he really pointed to verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And this man pointed to those verses and wanted me to know that that's what he felt about me. And it was really touching. And that was the best thing he could do to communicate with me, was to point to God's blessing and just say that that's what he wanted for me. And what shocked me was, I've studied the Bible a lot. Even back then, I'd studied the Bible a lot. I didn't remember ever seeing those verses before, and I thought, wow, that's good. And kind of doubly exciting that this fellow knew the Bible well enough to do that. And I just want to look at these verses tonight, if I could. I know I've read most of them, but let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read the entire passage. It deserves to be read twice, and we'll have a word of prayer. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we have this assembly, this church, this called out assembly of believers that can meet in your house. And Lord, I know that back in the book of Acts, there were many churches that just met in homes. And I like to think that our service is much like theirs, that they would have assembled, they would have prayed and enjoyed fellowship and sang hymns and then opened to the Word of God. And just like we do tonight, many, many years ago, we look forward to meeting some of those saints in eternity and people that lived in a wicked world just like we do, people that had received Christ just like we have, people that had lost loved ones just like we do, and people that had needs and daily trials and all the things that come with life on this earth. Lord, I pray tonight that just as they trusted you back in those days, that we could trust you. And just as you worked back in those days, you'd work in our life. That your hand would be upon us. That the Word of God would go forth with power. that we would have a burden for souls, and that we would have boldness to tell folks the gospel this week, and that we would have your blessing upon us as we do. Pray you'd bless this message about blessings and give us something that we can use. Help it not to be something that we forget, something that we can't apply, but help it to be practical and powerful. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The older you get, the more you realize how good God is. I've been a bit overwhelmed this weekend with my daughter's marriage, and I was telling the Bible Institute class some things that happened in her life, that she was dating another young man and found out that he was a Calvinist and ended that. And I know that God has plans for her and her new husband. We were delighted to meet his family, and they were delighted to meet us. They've got a Christian background that caused them to really be drawn to us. And they kept saying how much they appreciated us and the things that we said and so on. So I just got to thinking last night when we finally closed up shop after the reception and kind of cleaned the house a little bit. And about 9:30, we were sitting there thinking, you know, how good is God? Amen? Amen. To have my entire family together for the first time in 3 years was a great blessing. I was thinking, do you remember back in Genesis when Jacob, I was showing this to the staff the other day, when he didn't know where Joseph was, he didn't know where Reuben was, I think it was Reuben, and he was worried about Benjamin, and he was concerned for his children, and he said to his other children, he said that all these things are against me. Folks, God's not against us. And right there, when Jacob thought that one of his children was dead, the other one was probably going to die, and the third one was in jeopardy, truth of the matter is, God had all of them in perfect control. Amen? Was taking good care of them. God does take care of our children. We thank him for that. And those of us that have children, if you have younger children, trust God with your children. Amen. Trust God with their future. Amen? Pray for them. Don't forget to pray for them, but trust God with them. If you have older children and they're not close to the Lord, pray for them. If they are close to the Lord, thank him for that and keep praying for them as well. The word bless is a unique word. There's not any word like it. I catch myself. Yesterday, we were walking back towards the place where the ceremony had occurred. I'd walked, Brother Gonzalez had walked out to my car so I could leave some things in the car and stretch my legs, and we were walking back, and I saw a couple coming towards me, and I wasn't quite sure who it was. Come to find out, it was a co-worker that used to work with my wife and her husband, her name is Nicole, right? They were walking towards us, and I'm terrible with names. I don't know why God called me to be a pastor. I cannot remember names. I knew these people. I'd seen them before. I knew they weren't family. I got that much figured out. I knew that they hadn't been at the rehearsal dinner. They hadn't been at any of the other events. And so they were kind of new to the whole thing. And I was just trying to think of what to say to them. And Brother Gonzalez might remember. I just said, Lord bless you. Now that's a strange thing to say. Who am I to bless them? Amen? But God can bless us. Amen. What better thing can you say to somebody than Lord bless you? And they smiled. Now in hindsight, I kind of wish I'd have said a little bit more because of now I know who it was. But there's just no other word like bless, and there's no other source of blessings like God. And folks, the exciting thing about this passage is, when you put it in context, Numbers, we're getting ready for God to take the people to the edge of the promised land and offer it to them, but they didn't have enough faith. But that's not the point. God was ready to bring them into the land. God knew what they were going to do, but he still gave them the opportunity. And he's preparing them for that. He's established these laws, and he's given them this order in the camp. And I know it seems awfully tedious, and I'm looking forward to getting to the meat of the matter just like you are. But these little passages in the middle are very important. It's God preparing his people for the place that he wants to take them. And he pauses, and this almost seems like one of those passages that just stands out by itself. And, you know, what's this doing here, and why isn't this somewhere else? But it's a unique group of verses where God declares his blessing on his people. This is the way God sees Israel. This is his love for Israel. And don't misunderstand, we are not Israel, but God loves us. And God also blesses us as his people. The word blessing is it just implies a desire for one's happiness. And particularly, it implies a desire for those things which would cause one to be happy. And when you see the word blessed or blessed, think of the word happy. And it's not that the Bible didn't use the right word. Of course it did. It's not that the word happy is not also in the Bible. Yes, it is. But when you think of blessings, you just think of being happy. It's just, I can tell you, if you're a parent, you would agree with me. A father wants his children to be happy. A father wants his grandchildren to be happy. I got a real thrill out of getting to spend some time with our 3-year-old granddaughter. Hadn't been able to see her since just right about the time she was born. And she's just such a cute little girl. And I'm proud of my son and daughter-in-law for raising her the way they are. You can tell they have a very peaceful home because she's a very peaceful child. And by the way, children take on the attributes of the parents. Be careful. If you're angry, they're going to be angry. If you're impatient, they're going to be impatient. If you're loud, they're going to be loud. If you want to see what someone is like, meet their children. And this little girl is just quiet and sweet, and she's happy all the time. And I did the typical grandpa thing, and me and her grandmother gave her gifts so that she can take home things to tear their house up with, you know, Play-Doh, that kind of thing. But we just want them to be happy. God wants us to be happy. Now, he knows we live in a world that does not cause happiness, so we're going to have to find it somewhere else, aren't we? You're not going to find it in the world. Young people, I'm telling you, teenagers, I'm telling you, if you think the world will make you happy, you are dead wrong. The world will make you anything but happy. This is a little bit less than scriptural in quotation, but it's true. The world will chew you up and spit you out. The devil hates you, and he's the one in control of the world. And many of us that have gone down that path for a way, found out the world will not make you happy. But God can. The blessing of God, first and foremost here, is declared upon Israel. He says in verse 23, "On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel." Now, I tell you often, because I hope it can be practical for you to use, that there is a lot of false religion in the world today. False plans of salvation. False ideas about God. False ideas about worship. And it's come to the point now to where most churches don't even teach much of anything anymore. They just go to have a feel-good session. And you can feel good in the Bible. I hope you will tonight. But God wants us to preach the whole counsel of God. And I want you to know something. God is not finished with Israel yet. God is not going to cast off Israel. God forbid. He didn't and he won't. And those churches that came out of the Catholic Church, which are called Reformation churches, the word reformation means they are trying to reform the Catholic Church. You know, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You're not going to get the truth out of a lie. And the Catholic Church didn't have the truth, and the churches that come from it won't. And those churches that say that God is done with Israel and that God has replaced Israel with the church, they need to read this passage. Amen. God chose Israel, and he didn't make a mistake. Right. And he's not done with them yet. And I don't get tired of explaining this, but you may get tired of hearing it, but I'll be brief, and that is, Daniel explained it quite nicely, that there were 70 weeks, and the word weeks there occurs to periods of 7 years. There were 70 periods of 7 years appointed to God's people, Israel. Now, way back in Daniel's day, he said there were 70 times 7, 490 years. And then what happened? He said, 69 weeks and Messiah will be cut off. And the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And then there's one more weak. And it hasn't happened yet. It didn't happen right after the crucifixion. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the clock for Israel stopped. And this is the times of the Gentiles that we live in. And it's going to go along for a little longer. And then here comes that last week. And I have good news for you. You won't be here. You are not appointed to wrath. Israel is appointed to wrath. And those that have rejected God, that didn't receive Christ, that heard the gospel and rejected it, that knew of God and chose not to glorify Him as God, and their foolish heart was darkened, and all the wickedness in our world, that's what the wrath is for. And during that last 7 years, that last week, we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen?
Amen.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Shocking thought. That's not the second coming of Christ. That's the rapture.
Amen.
7 years later is the second coming of Christ. And He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. It's going to cleave north and south. He's going to walk through a valley right into Jerusalem, establish a kingdom in Jerusalem, which will last 1,000 years. Then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And Israel, the tribes of Israel, will be etched in the foundations and the structure of the new Jerusalem. Now, why would God choose Abraham's descendants through Isaac, through Jacob, those 12 tribes, and put the names of those tribes on the new city, but have rejected them? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Now, this is a blessing for God's people. For Israel, they are His chosen people. On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. Now, let's look at the blessing, and I'll try and be brief. I think I can last 20 minutes. I'm pretty tired, but we'll see how this goes. Let's just look at some things about this blessing. And I want to ask you this, if you would. Understand, this is a representation, a reflection, a portrayal, a picture of how God blesses His people. Oh, let's just stop and think about that for a minute. Can God bless us?
Amen.
Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I've been waiting for God to do this one thing. He hasn't done it yet. I guess He's got something better. Amen?
Amen?
Just the fact that God didn't do it our way doesn't mean God doesn't do what's right.
That's right.
And quite often, I'm with you. Sometimes I make that foolish mistake of thinking, I wish God would have done this, and instead He did that. And sometimes, if you're not careful, it can really get you upset. No, God knows what's best.
Amen.
And so don't doubt the fact that God wants to bless you, that God can bless you, but let God bless you the way He chooses to. And I got to say this, you need to remember this. God knows how to bless you better than you know how to bless you.
Amen.
We all think if we had this or had that, that we'd be blessed. And then sometimes when we get this or get that, we find out that wasn't a blessing at all. So the blessing of God comes through the leading of God. The blessing is perfect. It's almost interesting the way the phraseology here reads. In verse 23, he says, well, first of all, look at this. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, he says, Moses, speak unto Aaron, saying, speak unto Israel, saying. So this is a message that is passed down. That the Lord gives it to Moses to give to Aaron and his sons to give to Israel. It began with the Lord, but it came through the priest. Now, who is our priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We have an high priest, the Bible says in Hebrews. There's no other priest. I feel sorry for those men that have been lied to and told that they can be a priest in a church. And here's your white robe, learn some Latin, and you'll be a priest. The Bible says you can't take the priesthood upon yourself. And a priest is to offer sacrifices, but Jesus has offered the sacrifice. There are no more sacrifices for sin. The blessing comes through the priest. So here's a thought. If you got the wrong priest, you got the wrong blessing.
That's right.
If you got the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the right high priest. He can bless you.
Amen.
Everything that we get, our salvation, everything that we have comes from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He is the high priest that blesses us. It is a perfect blessing. It is a priestly blessing. He says in verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Oh, I see something there. You need to remember something. The Lord Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Without him was not anything made that was made. You know that verse in John 1, right?
Amen.
Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created.
Amen.
Wait, Pastor, I thought Jesus created. It says God created. You got it.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Amen? The Bible says the Lord, capital L, O, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I'm the great shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee, he says in verse 24, and keep thee. Now that word keep, I'm not familiar with the Hebrew word. There's a Greek word for keep I know a little bit about. It's the word tereo, and it means to guard something. Best illustration of that is when the soldiers were told to watch the tomb, they were told to tereo, to keep the tomb. Don't let anybody in. Don't let anybody out. Good luck. Try and keep Jesus in that tomb. Amen?
Amen.
That's not going to happen. And so those soldiers didn't do a very good job of keeping that tomb. But the idea was to guard it. Do you think God guards us?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What happened in the book of Job? The devil couldn't touch Job until God allowed the devil access. And don't you think today the devil would destroy you just like that if he had access?
That's right.
Amen. Do you take that for granted? No. The Lord keep thee. One of the blessings of God is the protection he gives us. Some of the greatest blessings you've got, you had no idea you got them because you don't know what God kept you from. You don't know what God protected you from. You say, well, Pastor, how am I going to know? You're not. You just got to trust God.
Amen.
There was some time in your life when God did something and you didn't even know it, and he protected you from something horrible, maybe from marrying the wrong person, or maybe from death, or maybe from some disaster in your life, or maybe from, in my case, it's really easy because I can tell you this, when I was adopted by my parents, I wound up getting saved. That's how good God is. Anyone else to ask me if God's good? He gave me different parents so I could find Christ as Savior. Pray for my sister Linda that she'd get saved, by the way. She needs to, and she did hear the gospel again yesterday at the ceremony. But aren't you glad God saved you?
Amen.
The keeping, the guarding of God, things that we don't even know God did. He's blessing you more than you know. Look at verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. That's an interesting phrase. Actually, if you don't need to turn there, but in Psalm 80, three different times the Bible talks about the face shining, the face of God shining. And in all three of those times, it's followed by salvation. Not necessarily salvation from hell or from sin, but just God saving us. You ever think of the fact that God's watching you? It's not just that God guards, but that God looks down upon us. And lost people, and some Christians, sadly, they have a picture of God as someone who is angry with them. Folks, God is not angry with you. Now, he is angry with the sinner, but he also wants to save the sinner. But once we got saved, the face of God shines upon us. I don't know how you could physically picture this, but I can just tell you that yesterday and the day before and this morning, when I look at my little 3-year-old granddaughter, I'm in my heart, I'm beaming. I'm thinking, I love this child. I want to be a blessing to this child. What can I do to help this child? It is the shining face is a picture of God's desire to be good to us. That's the way God is.
Amen.
And the devil, the liar, the devil tells you, no, God's not going to be good to you. He's angry with you. He's going to be mean to you. He doesn't like you. You've made him too mad. Don't worry. Don't talk about praying to him because he doesn't listen to you anymore. That's the devil's lie. The face of God shines on us. Amen?
Amen.
Certainly the Bible says it does. Daniel 9:17 uses the shining face of God to restore that which was lost and desolate. A shining face portrays a desire to bless, like a father looking at his newborn child. Some of the most beautiful pictures you might see are a parent holding a child, and that look on their face, that shining face, that desire, that love, that interest in being a blessing. It's not just that God can bless, it's that God wants to bless. And sadly, I got to mention, sometimes the reason he can't is because we don't let him. He wanted to bless Israel with the promised land, didn't he? He would have. They wouldn't let him. They wouldn't believe him. They would not take that opportunity to let him deliver them. Verse 25, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The graciousness of the Lord provides a promising future. Think about grace. Grace is favor, kindness, friendship. It can involve forgiveness or goodness or care. And God is a gracious God. Amen. By grace are you saved through faith. The Bible talks about let us come boldly into the throne of grace. It just all comes back to what we're saying. God's a good God. And people that don't know him as they should can make enormous mistakes in their life because they don't realize how gracious God is and how loving he is and how forgiving he is and how patient and long-suffering he is. Look at verse 26. Now, this is the third time in the passage that it describes the Lord doing these things. It says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now, the countenance is also a representation of his face, his disposition. When God looks upon you and I, he looks upon us with a face that is gracious. And his face, his graciousness, his countenance gives us, or should at least give us, peace. The Lord give thee peace. Are you at peace tonight? Sometimes we can't say yes. Sometimes we're worried, aren't we? What's going to happen tomorrow, Pastor? I got a bill due. What's going to happen tomorrow, Pastor? I got a problem to solve. What's going to happen tomorrow, Pastor? I've got some opposition that I don't know how to handle. And then you look in God's face and you think, what were those problems again? Amen? Amen. You do have a Father in heaven, don't you?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to hear everybody say amen. You have a Father in heaven?
Amen.
Amen. Is he a good father?
Yes.
Amen. Does he care about you?
Yes.
Does he know your troubles?
Yes.
Does he care about your troubles?
Yes.
Maybe we can rest a little bit and have some peace. Pastor, what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm looking at God. We'll see. Whatever happens, he's in control. Amen?
Right. Amen.
It's okay. I've got peace. That's where peace comes from. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Amen?
Amen?
You want a picture of peace? Go up in the mountains where it's beautiful and there's nobody. And what you need to do, we used to live in Utah, and they have these lakes up, and you have to walk and walk and walk and walk to get to this lake. And you get up there, and there's nobody there but you, and this is before your kids start throwing rocks in the water. And you get up there, and it's just calm, and you can hear the wind rustling in the trees, and you can look out there, and the water's just smooth, and it's pretty, and there's no trash or anything. It's just perfect God creation, and you just have peace. It's not like the hurricane or the windstorm or that thing that came through last week and blew down trees. No, the voice of God's a still small voice, and it gives peace. If I'll say this plainly. If you don't have peace in your life, it's not God's fault.
Right.
If you don't have peace in your life, something needs to be done, and you need to be the one that does it. It may be as simple as submitting yourself to God. It may be as simple as trusting God. I'm so surprised sometimes people tell me, oh, Pastor, I've got all these problems. And then when the time comes to be faithful, they don't show up to church. Folks, who do we trust? Amen? I sure hope God delivers me. I think I'll stay home at night and watch TV. That doesn't make any sense. Go to his house. Amen?
Amen. Right.
I don't understand why God's not blessing me, Pastor. Maybe he's trying to get your attention. But folks, when we trust God, we have peace. When you read the Word of God and you look into his face, and he may correct you sometimes. He may shock you with some of the things he might show you sometimes. But he always wants to give you peace. And I tell you, most of the time when we don't have peace, it's because we don't obey. Looking at the last verse, it says, they, talking about the priests, shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let me just break that into two pieces. I was reading this or watching a story the other day. Today, I guess it was. Reading a story about when they were looking at the survivors and from the Titanic. Of course, they could ask them their name, but how do you identify someone who's deceased? And they had a book, and every person, every body that they found, they would assign a number to it. And it's one number. I think it was page number 6. The page in the book said, unidentified, no possessions. Nothing to go by. Don't know who this was. Then there was another fellow, and he was wealthy, and he had his initials embroidered into the collar of his shirt. And they knew right away, this is John Jacob Astor, because his initials were in his shirt. Had identification in him, had a name on him. Now, we are not our own, we're bought with a price. So who do we belong to? Amen? We have a name that is not ours, it's his. It comes from him. He owns us. Amen. We ask foolish questions sometimes. We say, what am I going to do with my life? No, it's not your life. It's God's life. What you did with your life is you sinned and you needed to be saved. And now it's God's life. Oh, but I got good news for you. He can do better things with it than you could have. And I got more good news for you. He makes you a child of his, and he gives you an inheritance, and he puts his name on you, not so that you can just be a slave in misery, but so that you can be a child and that he can love you. Amen? His name is on us. Now, not like it was on Israel, but a lot of the ways the same. If you've received Christ, you belong to him. And he's going to treat you that way. And so he mentions that to them. And then this very last phrase, and I'm done, just 4 simple words. I will bless them. Now, I want you to know when God said those 4 words, I will bless them, in Numbers chapter 6, he did not have to wonder what was about to happen. God knew this nation is going to go to the edge of the promised land, and they are going to not believe me, and they're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they're going to have to come back, and Joshua is going to lead them in. They're going to take the land, and then after Joshua dies, there's going to be this period of the judges where every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and they're going to suffer and suffer and suffer. And then I'm going to give them a king. He's going to be a bad king named Saul, and they're going to suffer some more. Then they're going to have a good king named David, another good king named Solomon, and then they're going to get the divided kingdom, and there's going to be idolatry, and they're going to be destroyed and taken into captivity. Then they're going to come back, and eventually the Romans are going to govern them. And then I'm going to send my son to die and pay for their sins. And then they're going to be scattered all over the place for over almost 2,000 years. And then I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to bless them. Amen? God's going to bless them. Was he always ready to bless Israel? Why didn't he? They wouldn't let him. Do you understand? They wouldn't obey him. They wouldn't trust him. They wanted to replace him with the gods of the nations around them. They wanted to break his laws so that they could do what they wanted to do. And their own actions kept him from blessing them. I will bless them, he said. You know how he got around all that? With his Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to write my laws in their heart. And they shall all know me from the least of them to the great of them. This is Jeremiah 33, the new covenant. There won't even be a need for people to teach others who the Lord is. They're all going to know me. It's coming. Hadn't happened yet. I don't know how the Reformation theologist gets around that one. The Reformation theologian says God forgot Israel. No, he's going to bless them. Amen. And they're all going to believe in him, Jeremiah 33. And that's not allegorical or figurative. It doesn't transfer to the church. That's obscene. That's Israel. Amen. But folks, you and I are his children as well. We are in the church age. We are in the age of grace. And he's got a place for us as well. It's not Israel, but it's pretty good.
Amen.
And one of these days, we're going to be with him for all eternity. And you'll know how much he can bless you. You can know that right now if you'll let him. Amen?
Amen.
But don't deceive yourself. Listen to this and I'm done. The devil knows what he needs to get you to do to miss out on the blessings of God. Let me say that again so everybody gets it. The devil knows what he needs to do to get you and I to miss out on the blessings of God. And he is occupied full time trying to get us to do that to keep us from being blessed. Don't let him win.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
We just had a lesson in Bible Institute about the will of God. Someone says, well, you know, God's will is always accomplished. I wish that were true, but doesn't the Lord's Prayer teach us? We pray for God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you, what about in your life? And I can ask you this simple question. When you know you're in God's will, oh, Pastor, I'm saved. No. When you know you're in God's will, Pastor, you know, I pray once in a while. I read my Bible once in a while. I go to church once in a while. No. When you know you're in God's will, he can bless you. And you know that brings you peace, doesn't it? And the things that keep you from having peace are the same things that keep you from having blessings is when you tell God no. No, I'm too busy for you. No, I've got something else that's more important than you. No, I've got something I want more than you. No, my will is more important than your will. Those are the things that keep God from blessing us. God always wanted to bless Israel, and he will. God wants to bless us. Let's let him, amen?
Amen?
Let's all stand and pray.